Welcome to Popaholics, the show where a dad and daughter dish on pop culture. On today's show,
the movie Leave the World Behind, the book Hamnet, and the TV series Three Body Problem, The Tourist, Renegade Nell, and Manhunt, with Kate saying this about the portrayal of John Wilkes Booth.
He thinks he's more, you know, he's better than everybody else. He's more important than everybody else. Very, of course, because he's in this part of the Confederacy, very casually throwing around the N-word and calling black people boy and girl and just generally being an awful, awful human being. If you assassinated Abraham Lincoln, I'm sure you're not a good person. There's your soundbite right there, Dad.
Hi, and welcome to Popaholics. This is Steve Hall. Kate and I were having so much fun taping last week's episode and this one that we forgot to do an intro. So without further ado, here's the show.
So we're doing this kind of on the fly, so I didn't really have time to write my normal, carefully worded notes on this next one. But this is the show called The Three Body Problem, which is a Netflix series. There are 8 episodes in the first season. This is a sci-fi drama. It's based on a series of novels by Chinese novelist, I'm going to massacre this, Cixin Liu, L-I-U. And this particular series was created by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who, if you are a Game of Thrones fan, you know they were the showrunners on that great series, as well as Alexander Wu. The premise of this show is that in the 1960s, a alienated Chinese astronomer, I guess you would call her, she's really upset about everything that's happened in China. She's part of this project sending messages out into space, you know, with the hopes aliens, they'll reach aliens. She is actually manning all the equipment the night that the aliens respond and say that they're coming. She encourages them to come to Earth. You know, pretty soon we figure out that they don't have good intentions. So, you know, now it's because of how long sound needs to travel to space and how far away their galaxy is. They're like 400 light years or something away. So they're on their way. All this scientific stuff is going wrong, like you know, the giant colliders are not working properly, and
the Hadron colliders.
Yeah, all the stuff like that is no longer functioning because of something that these guys are doing.
Uh-oh.
And so, in this series, this group of friends in London, they're mainly English, but there's a couple of Americans. They're trying to figure out what's going on and how to stop it. And then there's a series of really weird, gruesome suicides and murders that take place in connection with all this alien stuff. And there's a very dogged Chinese detective. He's Asian, but he's grew up in London, right? Played by Benedict Wong, who is trying to figure everything out. So it's a great, great show. It's highly addictive. I've seen reviews that either loved it or absolutely hated it. We absolutely loved it, and we're watching, you know, 3 or 4 episodes a night till we burn through the whole thing. My one caution to you would be there's a very brutal act that happens in the first few minutes of the show. You might be tempted to turn it off there. We were. But that particular incident informs everything else that happens in the show going forward, so it's kind of necessary. The thing was, when I watch this thing, I always think, are scientists really that young and hot? You know,
I didn't go into the sciences, so I wouldn't know.
But anyway, I would recommend you check it out, take a look. It is called, like I said, Three Body Problem, and it's on Netflix.
Okay. Maybe I should go back to school, Dad. The book that I want to talk about is Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell. This book has been out for quite a while. I'm late to the party. I wrote that it is a gorgeous book about the start of William Shakespeare's family and his writing career. So in the author's note, basically Maggie O'Farrell says that when she visited the historic sites of William Shakespeare's house and the Globe Theater and all that, she visited the graveyard where I can't remember if he's buried there or his whole family is buried there. And she noticed that there was a headstone for one of his children who died very young. And his name was Hamnet, not Hamlet, H-A-M-N-E-T. But it didn't say how he died, just the dates were there. And so then she kind of took that and ran with it and created the story. In the start of the book, Shakespeare is in Stratford. He's a Latin tutor. He's not happy. He's working for his dad, and his dad is not a great person. He's kind of dreaming on how to get out. And then he meets Anne, who we figure out later is Anne Hathaway, who's a little bit older than him. They end up falling for each other. And then, that their love story goes from there. Also, by the way, this is all happening while the Black Death, the continued bubonic plague, keeps kind of sweeping through England. So in 1580, his young son, Hamnet, succumbs to it while Shakespeare is in London. And so then Maggie O'Farrell writes basically about how that affects him, how it affects his wife, his daughters, all of that. And we've talked a little bit about it the other night. And I think this is probably the third episode in a row where I say that this book wrecked me in a good way. I like the emotional release that I can find from reading or listening to or watching stories. And the book is set up in such a way that that this young child is going to die. And so that tone is something to contend with throughout. And then you get to that part and just like, it was rough. It was the kind of cry where like your head hurts. I was trying to be quiet so I didn't wake my own child up. But I also was like really feeling that, even though thankfully I have not had a child die. But again, we talk about it a lot. Anytime you witness any kind of death that affects you, I like reading other people's descriptions of that. I don't want to say I like reading other people's like experiences of that, but
maybe the way they cope with it.
The way that I think it makes you feel less alone in however you're feeling. I was again, snot, tears, trying to breathe, really struggling. And I really enjoyed the conflict that happens because of that, because he's not there and his wife is, the one that is having to really reckon with that. So yeah, so if that didn't immediately give you a like, nope, not doing that one. If it sounds interesting to you, that's Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell.
Okay, so I will go in a totally different direction.
Great.
This is a series on Netflix called The Tourist. It premiered back in early January 2022 on BBC One. BBC Zoo, BBC Three. Sorry, that's a Austin Powers reference. BBC One in the UK, and then also on the Australian networks. And so in this series, the man, that's the name of his character, played by Jamie Dornan, wakes up in a hospital. He's the victim of a car crash. He doesn't remember anything. He doesn't remember his name. He doesn't remember anything about the car crash. He has to go and try to, figure out what happened. Well, we already know that from the opening moments of the series, somebody was trying to kill him, okay? And so as he goes about getting clues, trying to figure out who he is, some of those people are starting to come after him. And they're creepy and scary. It's also a constable in training, Helen Chambers is the name of the character, played by Danielle McDonald. And she's a woman kind of starting to rebel against people's expectations of her. She has this boyfriend who's just, you'll think, what an idiot, what a jerk. Has a mental image of what she should look like in terms of ideal weight and what she should do, you know, to show him off. Like, he wants them to compete in this dance contest. And you can tell she has no interest in it, but is only going along with it to try to humor him. Thing is, everybody underestimates her. But of course, she's dogged and she's figuring out stuff out. And it's interesting because I saw a very similar character in Resident Alien, the sci-fi drama, which is now on Netflix as well. There's a character there who's a deputy, and the sheriff is kind of blustery, and he always gets all the credit and takes all the credit anytime she solves something. But meanwhile, she's, you know, continuing to just do the work and get it done. One of the things that I've watched, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes of The Tourist to this point, I like it a lot. For some reason, the fact that the man is going into these different situations, and then people who are total strangers, they find out he has amnesia, and they're trying to help him regain his memory. So they will, you know, they'll take him to places, or, you know, give him a helicopter ride so he can check out this thing. They'll open up computer files of stuff that was on a camera that he had. It reminded me of the TV series The Fugitive with Jansen. Of course, my mind went blank. The TV series The Fugitive, and, you know, he was on the run, you know, falsely accused of the murder of his wife. And as he went along, my memory is that similarly, strangers would help him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it reminded me a lot of that. Parts of it are violent, but it is very well done, memorable characters. And of course, everything I've seen so far has taken place in the Outback, which is like a whole different world. So that's The Tourist on Netflix.
Cool. You said Jamie Dornan. He was in that other great series that now I can't remember the name of it, where he was the bad guy, though.
I know. Do you know what I'm talking about?
And Gillian Anderson was in it, too. Listeners, can you help us out? Do you remember what I'm talking about? Because she was the detective, and he was the bad guy, and she knew that he was the bad guy, but he kept, like, evading her. Is it, like, the... Is it The Fall? It's not The Fall. Is it The Fall?
It's not The Fall. The Fall's, like, a Norwegian...
Yeah.
We will have this in the notes, because obviously you're blanking. Or else I'll like, casually
come up with it in, like, 1 second.
And here's the dub. Kate's right. It is The Fall, a British series, with Anderson playing a detective who's trying to catch a serial killer in Ireland, played by Dornan.
First, we're going to talk about Renegade Nell, which is a series that just premiered on Disney+. Stars Louisa Harland as Nell. Listeners might also recognize... See, now the beer is hitting. Jolie Richardson of the famous acting legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Natasha Richardson.
Yeah.
So Jolie Richardson shows up later, but she is in it. So Louisa Harland stars as Nell. Accused of murder, Nell goes on the run with her sisters and tries to find a magistrate that will help her clear her name. This happens in early 18th century England. So like 1705 or something like that. When she's first introduced, there is a group of highwaymen holding up this carriage of, like, aristocrats. She accidentally kind of happens upon the scene, and one of the guys threatens her with a gun, and then you see this little light go into her mouth, and then she has superpowers, and she kicks their butts.
Which happened all the time in England. People were
in 18th century England.
Highwaymen.
And the thing that I like is that throughout the series, they haven't explained why this is happening. It just, like, they're very slowly dropping, oh, it only happens when somebody threatens her. She can't use it on her own. She can't, like, summon it. It's like a defense mechanism, I guess, is what you would say. But she is using it. She does try to use it for her own benefit. but not to the detriment of people that it would actually hurt, meaning like the lower classes. When she is on the run, she needs money, she needs food. She's like, oh, hey, I could be a highway woman. And she only targets the well-to-do upper class because she knows that they have more money than they know what to do with. They don't need all those clothes. They don't need those, you know, trunks of gold. And so then she's using that to take care of her and her two younger sisters, herself and her two younger sisters, while she's trying to figure out how to find a magistrate that will help her clear her name. I really like her character because she's strong, she is smart, but she also is like kind of flying by the seat of her pants like 90% of the time. I wrote improvisation queen. So she's kind of bumbling along, just doing her best and trying to take care of her little sisters, kind of also trying to clean up after herself along the way. She meets a fellow highwayman who does have better plans than her, but he, you know, gets himself caught and thrown into jail.
Don't give everything away.
While he's trying to help her, so then she's like, gotta go back and like break him out of jail. And the person that I'm referring to, the actor Frank Delane, is playing this character, Charles Devereaux. I wrote that he's giving his best Jack Sparrow impersonation, and I'm okay with it. And I say that because when you watch it, Dad, because you should watch it, he looks so much like young Johnny Depp. They're not related because I looked it up, but he looks so much like young Johnny Depp. It's weird. If that's what the casting team and the producers are like, hey, can you do this? You're like, yeah, I got you. Go for it. Get your money. I thought the series, it was so good. The action scenes are great. The dialogue is great. You care about her. You care about her family. You understand her plight. You're invested in like, why is this even happening in the first place? Like, what was she chosen? How was she chosen? Is this a thing that's just happening now all of a sudden? While I was writing my notes, I read that they're writing season two right now, which is great. Oh, and then also really quick, Adrian Lester plays the main villain, who I wrote, he is the worst kind of evil. He's manipulative. He's gaslighting. He's sneaky. You don't think, well, of course we know, but the people that he's around, they don't really realize to what extent they're being manipulated until it's too late, which is so scary. That's the worst kind of evil. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's Renegade Now on Disney Plus.
I'm going to talk about a movie now that, as I was watching it, I was thinking, yeah, maybe it's okay. But then I found myself thinking about its themes and its storyline a lot in the following days, which I think probably says this is a pretty good movie. So the movie I'm talking about is Leave the World Behind. It's on Netflix. It stars Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke. I'm going to butcher his name.
Mahershala Ali?
Yep. And then Kevin Bacon is also in it.
Oh, Kevin Bacon's in it too?
And this is 2023 American apocalyptic psychological thriller written and directed by Sam Esmail. And if you know Sam Esmail's name, that is probably because you know him as the writer, director, and creator of USA Network's series Mr. Robot. And so like that series, which, you know, had themes about alienation and technology, this movie is very much in kind of that same vein. Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke play this well-to-do couple that live in New York City. They have two children, and Julia decides to surprise him with this weekend away in the country. Okay, so they get to this house. It's gorgeous, just amazing. But then weird things start happening with the TV, and some of the other technology doesn't seem to work. In the middle of the night, there's this pounding on the door, and it's this black guy and his daughter, and he says, hey, this is my house. And we were wondering if we could stay here because of everything else that's happening, that, you know, out there. And so it's not clear what's happening out there. Julia Roberts is very suspicious of him. It's like a class race thing, right? Ethan Hawke just wants to welcome him right in. And meanwhile, Ethan Hawke and Julia Roberts' daughter is like having these weird, they're either encounters or they're visions involving deer. And I got to tell you, you will never look at deer as like, oh, they're so pretty and peaceful creatures. You'll find them kind of creepy if you watch this movie. Right? Things progress, and then, you know, gradually we start to figure out what's happening, and they start to figure out what's happening. One of the things I liked about this movie was people had very little information. You know, like, if something goes down, if we have the zombie apocalypse, okay, and, you know, the TV stations go down, the radio stations go down, something's wrong with the internet, we're not going to know anything. And so we're going to be trying to get out, go to town, talk to somebody, find out if they know anything. Meanwhile, bad crap is going to be happening. So this has this kind of low-level foreboding, maybe, quality to it, the movie does. But I did, and like I said, at the time, I'm watching it, I'm thinking, you know, I was expecting zombies or something much more dramatic. But then afterwards, I really found myself thinking about it and, you know, what it would be like if I had to go through the situation, you know, and I think it would probably play out much like it did for them. So I do recommend it. It's called Leave the World Behind on Netflix.
Cool. The thing that I remembered is Manhunt on Apple TV, and it is a conspiracy fiction retelling of the assassination plot against Abraham Lincoln, and of course not just Lincoln, but of his staff, you know, did the Confederacy plan this? What would this look like kind of story? So it stars Tobias Menzies, who people might know from, he's been in a ton of stuff. He was in Outlander. He was in a great, was it The Night Manager? I think he also was in The Night Manager as well. Not as one of the main cast, but he was there.
He was more like the mid-afternoon manager.
I think he was one of the parliament guys.
He was that guy you see puttering around back there restocking the snacks, you know, at the motel.
That's what they have in parliament. No, he was there. He's been in a bunch of stuff. Very talented actor. Hamish Linklater, who you might not recognize the name, but when you see his face, you'll be like, oh yeah, I know that guy. He is Abraham Lincoln in this. Patton Oswalt, who really is just being Patton Oswalt in the 1860s.
Which that would seem kind of jarring to
me.
Yeah, but
that was the only thing that I was like, well, I mean, he tried. And and then also, I think it's Anthony Boyle. He's an Irish actor. As John Wilkes Booth, he was also in Masters of the Air as one of the navigators. Yeah. And the difference between that portrayal of an American soldier and this portrayal of John Wilkes Booth is like so jarring. He's doing a great job because now I see his face and I'm like, ugh. Like he's portraying Booth as kind of a whiny little, I can't curse, a whiny little, I could curse, but you'll cut it out. can I say it?
Go ahead.
He's kind of a whiny little. He's mean. He thinks he's more, you know, he's better than everybody else. He's more important than everybody else. Very, of course, because he's in this part of the Confederacy, very casually throwing around the N-word and calling black people boy and girl and just generally being an awful, awful human being, which of course for if you assassinated the president, I'm sure that you would be. If you assassinated Abraham Lincoln, I'm sure you're not a good person.
Yeah.
There's your soundbite right there, Dad. I think I'm maybe four episodes in. Really, the story is focusing on Tobias Menzies' character, who plays the Secretary of War, who is trying to...
Seward, right?
Stanton?
Stanton.
Who, of course, he feels guilty that the assassination happened. He's trying to figure out... First, he's trying to figure out who did it. Then, now, they are on Booth's tail and trying to find him. Because, of course, he went into hiding. Again, I want to, you know, reiterate, it is conspiracy fiction. Just so people go in knowing that. It's been quite a long time since I studied anything about the Civil War. But I do remember seeing an exhibit at the Smithsonian, I think, when I was in college or freshly out of college, that it wasn't just about Wilkes Booth. It was about all the other conspirators who were hiding in Mary Surratt's boarding house in D.C. So I like that I'm getting, you know, a little bit more of what was happening at that time. But I do also want to say it's conspiracy fiction, not all factual, of course, and not... Hopefully you all know, not all TV is not based in the truth.
I'm shocked.
But I did just want to put that out there in case, you know, somebody watches it and is like, no, this isn't what happened. I know that. But it caught my eye. I like historical fiction, as we've said. And so I thought this was something worth watching. So that's Manhunt on Apple TV.
Kate, where can people find us?
People can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Popaholics Podcast, on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Popaholics. And please, if you have streaming, listening, reading recommendations, please send us an email to popaholicspodcast@gmail.com.
For Popaholics, I'm Steve Hall.
I'm Kate Hall.
Go out and enjoy pop culture.
Bye.